She went to make arguments about me being Pitta and she's Vata.
Okay, welcome. This is Sedona Method Class 7. And we're going to start off with some pranayama. But this time it's going to be different because Fran asked me to do a special pranayama. Which is the, some of you might know it, it's the, what do you call it?
Wim Hof.
It's the Wim Hof breathing. Right. Mm-hmm. So we're going to
do... make us warm.
It will make us warm, yeah. Yeah.
You made it soft.
Yeah, yeah.
Friend and make him soft.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm wondering if, like, should we stay sitting though?
I always do it sitting.
Okay.
You can do it however you want, lying down. But I think we can do it sitting.
Yeah.
So there's three parts to it, and the first part is just taking deep breaths through the nose, and it's not going to be like super slow. It'll be like. That pace. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be like as much air as you can breathe in. Mm-hmm. And then when you let out, you just release. You're not trying to push the air out.
Okay.
You're just releasing. Okay? So let's all do that. We're going to do that 30 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to, at the last one, we're going to hold it. We're going to hold it out. So after you breathe out on 30, then you just let the air go out. You don't try to push it out. You just let all the air go out. And then you hold it out. And then you go for as long as you can until you really, really need to breathe in. And then you breathe in a deep breath and hold it at the top for 20 seconds.
Through the nose?
Yep, everything through the nose.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then after that, and then we'll do another round, but let's just do one round and we'll all do it together. Okay.
Are you going to count the 30?
I'm going to count. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Ready?
Good, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Okay. Ready? One. Two. Three. Four. Five. Six. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Let it go all the way out and hold it. Hold it out. So just go as long as you can, and then see if we can keep going longer. And then when you can't hold it anymore, take a deep breath in and hold it for 20 seconds. Okay, everybody done?
Has anyone got a tissue?
No. Well, maybe in the pockets. One of the pockets. That, the other one. Nothing? Mm-hmm. Maybe I tossed it. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Great.
It's alright.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you. Look at you. All organized. Oh, does anyone else need it?
No.
Tissue.
No.
Nice comedy.
What?
That's why I love you.
Me.
Well, it's already working, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna do two more rounds of that.
Okay.
So just go at your own pace, and just you're not gonna kill yourself like trying to hold your breath out for longer. A little bit longer, so just see how long you can do it. Eventually you'll get up, it's good to get up to like a minute and a half, or you can even, I don't know how long, you know.
To hold it for a minute and a half?
Out, yeah, to hold it out. And then when you breathe in, after that, when you breathe in and you hold it for 20 seconds, just don't do it longer than 20 seconds, because it could start to mess you up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have visuals, and you might feel a little bit dizzy when you first start doing it, but it's just part of the process of getting used to it and purifying. So anyway, so let's do round two at your own pace. Thank you. Okay. Everybody okay? Mm-hmm. Alright. Let's get here, let's do round three. On your own, at your own pace. Okay, how was that for everybody?
Good. Definitely some lightheadedness.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Felt a bit dizzy.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
No?
No.
So, the more you do it, you'll get less dizzy. So this, on a physical level, this will put oxygen into your brain. So it's really good to do, especially in the morning, right after you get up, you can do it. I do it every morning before meditation and releasing. And I've been doing it for about 7 years. And more recently, every morning. So, and it's really good. And it also clears your sinuses up. So if you have a cold or something, but if you can't breathe through your nose, you just do it through your mouth, and it will clear your sinuses a lot.
Do you do three rounds? Is that what you know?
Yeah, sometimes I do more, but usually it's three. So.
And then jump in a cold river.
Yeah.
Possible.
Yeah. So if you have the constitution for that, you can. Yeah. Jump in a cold river. But I've tried that and it's not my thing. So, so I'm gonna also show you another thing that I do pretty much every day. And this is a pranayama technique that was taught by Paramahansa Yogananda. And this particular one is the precursor to another pranayama method. But if you're new, more or less new to pranayama, especially very deep pranayama practices, then I would recommend doing this one that I'm going to show you now for about 6 months before you go on to the other one. Because we need to practice in time to open up your channels, and then after you do it for a certain amount of practices, then you can more safely do the deeper practice. So you don't ever want to do deep practices that are not, are too much too fast, because when you're working with your subtle energies, what we call winds, in the etheric body, or the energy body, it's, you can mess yourself up. And I speak from experience about that. So if you hear someone say, oh, don't worry about it, it's fine, just do this crazy deep practice that you've never done before, I would run away from them as fast as possible. Because a lot of people just don't know, and they're teaching these deep practices and they have no idea, or it's some like person that just is maybe way more advanced, and they're teaching this stuff to beginners, and you know, they don't understand that someone has to open up gradually. And if you try to open up too soon, then you can really like tweak your winds, and it's not fun. So also I'll throw this out here. If it ever happens that you kind of mess yourself up like that, then let me know and I can walk you through it. Because I've been through it quite a few times. So, anyway.
What would you feel?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
So, everyone is different. But if you have a premature Kundalini awakening, it can be very scary and also traumatic. And it can be like you have a bipolar, like a serious bipolar disorder just comes on. Like, you know, you have these high highs and then you have these low lows. Some people just feel energy up going up their spine, or they feel like burning in one of their limbs, like burning energy. So when you wake up the Kundalini, if it doesn't go straight up your Sushumna, if it goes up through these side channels, it can break off through into your chakras, and then it's going every which way in your body. And as we talked about before, you have all of these five different main winds, and you have all the nadis, and so you have your whole subtle energy body that works a certain way, and that gets disrupted. And then all hell breaks loose. Like, you're just like, what the hell is going on? You know, so this is why in the Yogananda tradition, they have people go through initiations. So, because they want to check you out and they want to see where you're at, and they want to give you these preliminary practices, and then you become initiated and you have other people around you that are doing it too, and so it becomes like this community of people doing this, these deep practices, and it's much safer that way. However, there are people like me who just throw caution to the wind and will just try anything, or have tried anything. and there are consequences to that. So so I don't recommend, unless you've worked with your prana a lot and you are willing to take the bumps on the road, then yeah, you don't need an initiation. But if you want to, I recommend just treading carefully. And if you decide to go down this route, then either talk to someone who teaches it, and either get an initiation from them, or there's like a foundation or something. It's like the Yogananda something foundation. You can go and you can talk to those people. Anyway, so my point is that just be safe. That's it.
Thank you.
So this is the preliminary practice, which is, in my experience, very safe. And it goes like this. So as you breathe in slowly, you do long, slow breaths in. As you breathe in, you imagine from the base of your spine, actually your sushumna, which is your central channel, your central energy channel. In the traditions of Buddhism, they say that it's about an inch or 2.5 centimeters in front of your spine, and it runs up your spine all the way to your crown. Different traditions will tell you different things. Like some traditions will say it will come down to here, and it goes up and it goes down. Some say it just goes straight up. And then there are chakras that expand beyond the top of our head. But for our purposes today, we're just going to go to the top of our head. So when you breathe in slowly, you imagine a cool energy or wind, cool wind, going up the central channel. You can just imagine it going up the spine. Like a tube. It's like this, right in front of the spine. Just imagine it's going up this tube, and it's cool energy. And then when it gets to the top, it changes to warm energy. So it's like this. On the way down, you imagine this warm, flowy energy coming down through that channel, down all the way to the base of your spine, and then up again on the in-breath. So let's just do it together.
But always in front, not from the back.
So we're not going up, we're not yeah. doing this thing, we're not doing
okay.
the loop.
Okay.
It's so just that I'm trying to point, yeah. I can't point in here, so yes, it's like there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's... Okay. So just imagine that there's a tube right in front of your spine.
Okay.
Here, and this, like, here, okay? And it goes all the way up. So on the in-breath, let's just do it. Just imagine it as you're breathing in. Imagine cool air going up. And when you get to the top of your breath, then switch. And go down, and there's warm, flowy energy moving down. And then on the in-breath, cool energy moving up to the top of your head, and then it changes to warm, flowy energy coming down. And keep going. And try to feel it as you visualize it. Try to feel it also. Okay, finish up. Does anybody have any questions? Pretty easy, right?
More or less. Towards the end was easier.
Sorry?
Towards the end was easier.
Okay, all right. Yeah, the more you do it, the easier it'll get. And it should calm the mind down pretty fast. So, which is why it's good to do before you do your releasing or meditation and or meditation practice. So, okay. So now I want to go through a trauma releasing session. I want to do some, so let's all think of something traumatic that we want to let go of. It could be deep trauma, or it could be like not so deep, be recent, could be from your childhood. So just think of something you wanna, something that is very emotionally charged that you want to release. And just bring it to mind. And if it involves another person, then bring that person to mind and imagine being with them. And if it's just a scenario without another person, then bring that scenario up and imagine it. So every charged memory has an energetic component or an emotional component that is energy located in the body somewhere. So just go to that energy that has come up in the body. It might feel like a contraction of some kind, or heat, or pain, or movement, or like a stuck feeling. See if you can find it in the body. It could be all over, it could just be a general feeling, and that's fine too. So can you just let that feeling be there without trying to control it or change it? Just allow it to be there. And as you continue to allow it to be there, as you breathe into it, into that feeling. And slow down your breath a little and breathe into that sensation. Just letting it be there as it is, not trying to change it. and you don't have to try to figure out what it is about. Doesn't really matter. Just allowing it to be there. Come up and make itself known. And keep breathing into it. Deep breaths. Just letting it be there, not trying to get rid of it. Just giving it the right to be what it is. Honoring it for what it, how it has helped you. And now keep breathing into it more. And more. And more. And more. And more. Keep going. Keep breathing into it. And then check in with it and see how it feels now. If it's gotten stronger or weaker, or if it's moved at all. And keep breathing into it. And just let go of any wanting to change it. Let go of wanting to push it away or pull it towards you. Let go of wanting to do anything about it. Just breathe into it. And keep feeling it as best you can. Just maintain awareness of it. Keep breathing into it. And keep letting go of wanting to do anything about it. Just let it be as it is. And let it be as it is. And breathe into it. and check in with it and see how it feels. Keep breathing into it. And check in with yourself. And if it's still there, keep breathing into it. It's okay if it's still there. Just let it be there. And really feel into it. Whatever thoughts come up is fine. Just notice them and go back to the sensation in the body. And breathe into it. And really honor it for having served you in some, even in some small way. That trauma, that emotion is an alarm system for us. It's a survival mechanism. So when I say that it served us, that's how it serves us. But you can decide to let it go. Because you no longer need it. You don't need to carry it around with you. You don't need it to be a constant reminder of some kind of negativity. You can just let it go. Set it free. Because it's not who you are. And what you are is consciousness. And if it's still there, keep breathing into it. It's okay that it's still there. You can just let it be there. Just maintain awareness of it. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Take another deep breath. Let it go. One more time. And relax. And slowly open your eyes. And come back into the room. At your own pace. Any questions, comments, concerns?
No concerns, but I really liked that.
Yeah?
Yes.
Great. Very good. I'm glad. This is not part of the Sedona method, by the way.
I was going to say that. I like this better.
Okay. Yeah, I won't say anything.
Me.
Yeah, yeah. It's different strokes for different folks, as they say. So,
whatever.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm American. I shouldn't apologize for being American.
It's
but sometimes I feel like apologizing.
No, but I've used it myself a few times. Yeah.
What's that?
I've used it.
No, so
I think it's more typically American, but I've used it myself, so just...
You've used what?
I have used that expression, too.
Oh, yeah? Okay, all right. Yeah, good. All right, yeah. So I'm not alone.
I'll stand.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. okay. I also really like this. And you can use it on just, you know, stuck emotions, just like anything that we've covered so far. It's just a different approach. And I really think it's nice to incorporate breathing into releasing, which the Sedona method doesn't really do. So yeah, it's just a different way, and hopefully it'll be helpful for you. Yeah. So.
Can I just say one thing? Was it a really conscious plan to do the Wim Hof breathing, then the pranayama, then that? Because it seemed to prepare us well, you know, because the Wim Hof breathing in itself can be very releasing. So then we're almost halfway there, and then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Like it was good.
It's good to do those for any kind of releasing. You know, and what I've learned over the years is that these preliminary practices are really good both releasing and also for meditation and self-inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
So, because it just preps you.
Mm.
And as Lester said, the higher you go, the more you can release, and the more deeply you can release stuff, like stuff that you couldn't release when you're down here. When you're up here, it's much easier to release these big stuck things that we've been holding on to. So
will you send that recording or put it on your website?
It's already up there.
Is that okay? Is it called Releasing Trauma?
Yeah. It's already up on the
page. And today's you'll take this section out and put it as a separate.
So I already have a, have the meditation up there. It's very similar to this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I put it up about 3 days ago, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did I miss a session? Is that why? Well, is this the first time you've done it together?
I did it on my own.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
I just made a recording because I knew we were going to do it.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So it's very similar to this.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'll put this class up so you can also do it from that. And okay, so we have 10 minutes. I wanted to do some self-inquiry. And just to, I also wanted to address your points last class. Self-inquiry can seem very dry and difficult and nonsensical and it's the ego doesn't like to inquire about itself.
It doesn't like to inquire about
itself. Our thinking mind, and our thinking mind is just a collection of thoughts and emotions. That's all it is. There is no real mind. It's only just thoughts. What we call mind is a collection of thoughts. Okay, so we make this assumption that we have a mind, right? It's just thoughts. That's all it is. The thoughts don't like to think about what they are. Right, the ego, which is the assumption that we are our bodies, doesn't like to know what it is, ultimately. Okay, so this is why it can be difficult to sit down and to practice, because you don't feel like it, right? I kind of feel like practicing today. So, whatever, I gotta do this and I gotta do that. I gotta go to work and I gotta take care of the kids and cook and clean and do all sorts of things in the world. So, on this note, it will also view any kind of meditation as not helpful, or it will find problems with whatever we're doing. At the same time, we also have to connect with what we connect with, right? So it's just something to keep in mind. If you don't connect with self-inquiry, then that's fine. We each have our own method. But I think it's also important to keep in mind that how we feel before we sit down and do any of these practices, and how we feel after we get up can be completely different. Story. We can be really what's the word I'm looking for? Hesitant to sit down with ourselves. And then after we sit for 5 minutes, we're like, oh my God, this is amazing. Why didn't I want to do this before? For example. And then after 10 or 15 minutes of sitting in concentration or meditation, then we get up and it's like, oh, wow, like this is changing my whole outlook on my whole day, you know? And I feel more centered and grounded and whatever. So the point is that you get used to seeing the negativity that the mind creates around doing these practices, because it's the last thing the mind wants to do. It's the last thing our ego wants to do, is have a good hard look at the fact that it does not really exist. So, yeah. But if you don't, if it's not your thing, then it's not your thing also, right? So, however, I want to like just drill it home that it this practice is like the practice if you really want to get to the root of your suffering, because it is direct. Why is it direct? Because you're not using the mind. It's not a method per se. We're not using the mind to try to figure out what the mind is. We're not using method, like we're not using concentration to focus on the breath or something else, where eventually we start to realize something else. So that's like, that's a roundabout way. This is a direct way. So who am I is possibly the most direct thing you can do to realize the self. Three words, that's it. Or two words, I am. Or one word, I, just I. I prefer who am I. Sometimes the mind gets, it picks it up and it wants to do something with it, and then you start thinking and the gears start turning, and then it becomes not so helpful. So choose your weapon. But if you really want to find the root of your suffering and find the source of your being, in my experience, this is the way to do it. So, yeah. And also, it might not click for you at the beginning, and then later down the road, it might just click, something clicks. And in my experience, the more I do these preliminary practices, the easier it clicks. And the more you can easily, you can ground into it instead of it becoming a thought in your head or in your mind, right? So, so let's just get in touch with, let's all just look at something in the room. Just look at an object in the room. And then notice that you are seeing something. There's a subject, which is you, and an object that you're seeing, right? So get in touch with, not with the object, but with the seer of the object. And then ask yourself on a very felt level, who is the seer? So not as a thought, but more as an existential, holistic question. Who is it? Who is seeing? And just get in touch with the seer. And just try to close your eyes. So I think it's easier if you close your eyes. And just go to the one who sees. And stay there. And you can either stay there or you can take it a step further. And ask, who is the seer? Not as a thought, but as an existence. Who is the seer? And whatever you come up with is fine. Just be with that. So when we let go of the object, any object, we are left with the subject, only the subject. And the subject experiences itself only. So just experience yourself only. And as you go more and more into the self, it becomes less boring. Because the mind is letting go of wanting to figure it out. Of wanting to get something out of it, of wanting to have an experience of some kind, of wanting to gain something from it. And you can ask, who am I? Staying in the felt sense, in the feeling sense, not in the thinking part, but in the feeling part. Who am I? So if you find that you're thinking about it, then just stop, because that's not gonna help. And if you keep doing it and you keep thinking, you stay in the thought sense, then just let go and go into the felt sense, and then ask the question again from the felt sense. And maybe one version works better than another version, because the mind doesn't want to do something with it. And so the whole idea is to quiet the mind. And when the self just becomes aware of itself, then there are no thoughts. There is no mind anymore. There's only being, which is what we are. And so there's perfect peace. Any questions about that? Any problems, concerns?
Mm-hmm.
No. I guess they're pretty chilled.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready for that.
I just want to continue feeling my heart.
Yeah.
Feels really good.
Yeah, cool. That's another thing. You can also just practice opening your heart. If it feels like super boring and you want to just get out of there, you can also just practice opening the center of your chest up, and that will help with that too. But the more you do it, the less boring you'll find it, and the more actually interesting and beautiful it will become, in my experience. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Opening the heart. What did you say? Sorry.
You're in your heart. You don't need words.
That too. Self-inquiry.
Uh-huh.
Including opening your heart.
Okay.
Because ultimately you will open your heart. Even if you don't try to open up your heart, it will ultimately open up your heart. Because it's a letting go of everything.
Okay, but you don't try. Okay.
You can, if you want to experiment with just going in there and opening up, and great if that helps you to jazz it up a little. But it's not necessary to do that, is all I'm saying. But the more you do it, once you really get it, it's like it will hit you that in your mind, when your mind quiets, it's really, really quiet, then you'll see more and more, and then you'll get it. You'll really, it'll just click. So that's why I recommend keep trying with it, keep going with it, and see where it goes. So as long as you're not thinking, you can't really. You're not gonna hurt yourself, you can't, doing this practice, you know. You can't even really hurt yourself thinking, but you can think a lot, and
you can hurt you.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, you can. But as long as you're aware that you're thinking, then it shouldn't be a problem, right? Because the awareness is there, then it, then the thoughts don't have this grip on you, right? So, but yes, you're right. You can really mess yourself up. okay, so let's end it here. And next class will be the last class of the Sedona method. And then we can...
Yeah, what do we do after?
I have an idea.
Okay. Shoot.
I mean, my idea is just to do more self-inquiry. And it's a lot of different angles to it that you can explore. But I like going deeper into the same kind of practice, and I also like to share that. So if that's interesting to you, we can also make it like release and self-inquiry practice module or something like that. Whatever.
A jam session.
Jam session. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm for it.
Let's do a jam. Anyway, let me know what you think.
Yeah.
All right.